I want you to think about this, that folks are going to be coming here tomorrow night. Just as in John chapter 4, the folks from the town came back to see about Jesus. We got a lot of folks that are going to come to see about Jesus tomorrow night. Yes, they're coming for candy and for hot dogs, I hope. Because I don't think Tommy wants to keep all those hot dogs. Are you going to be here to help with the harvest, is what I would ask. And that's one of the reasons that the background for today's slides are going to have this harvest picture on there. Because as I preach today, I want you to think about that, about the harvest that is being prepared. If you need some encouragement to come tomorrow night, I'll wear a wig, okay? If that will encourage you to come tomorrow night and help, I'm going to wear a wig, okay? I'll let you know that. I also want to let you know that for Christmas Day is on Sunday this year, and for Christmas Day, I'm going to dress up as one of the shepherds, and I'm going to share the story firsthand from one of the shepherds. That's why I've let this start to grow, because I understand that shepherds are a little scruffy, and they don't quite look proper at times. So I want to play the part fully for you on what the shepherd saw that night. So you won't see me for the beginning of the service. Somebody else will be doing that morning prayer. And for the rest of the, when it's time for me to do the sermon, I'm just going to walk out and I'm going to share the story in costume with a wig again, okay, as a shepherd. I want you to be able to hear the story firsthand. So start talking that up amongst folks and invite people to come. This is one of the things I enjoy doing the most is telling stories and sharing them firsthand from the scriptures. Today, though, we're going to look at worthy of God's call from the second letter to the Thessalonian church. I want you to know this. This letter is not written, as I read these words, I want you to listen carefully. This letter is not written to the leaders only of the church. It is written to everyone in the church at Thessalonica. Now, I make that emphasis because I want you to be able to hear that these words are for you too, not just for leaders of the church, but for you too. So listen to these words. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip down to 11 and 12. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Now, skipping down to verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that your God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness, and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul does at the beginning of many of his letters, he starts it with a prayer after the salutation and talking with the folks and who he's addressing. He starts it with a prayer. Excuse me. And Paul explains his thanks to God for the church. He explains his thanks for God to the church. And he talks about their growing faith. He talks about their love for one another is increasing. And he talks about their perseverance in tough times. I don't know about you, but I would love to hear other people say that about me and about us as a church. That someone would say, we're praying for you as a church, and we're praying and lifting you up as a church for your growing faith. Faith is a spiritual journey. It's not a one-time walking down the aisle and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and being baptized, and now I have done what needs to be done. Now I have salvation, and that's all there is. No, it's a growing faith. A coming down the aisle is like being birthed as a child. And now it's time to grow into that faith. And all of us should be questioning ourselves, are we growing in our faith? Are we learning more about God each and every day? Do we have a moment where we sit down with God each day and pause? I hope you have at least one. I hope you have many throughout the day where you pause and say, God, what more is it that I need to learn? What more is it that I can grow in my faith? I would love to hear people talk about this church that way, wouldn't you? There's a church that their faith is growing day by day. There's a church that their love for one another is increasing. Their love for one another is increasing. That takes time, doesn't it? I've only been here about 4 months or so, and I have come to love y'all. Or to love all y'all. Or to love yous guys. Whatever you need to hear. But you know what? That love can continue to grow. That love can continue to expand as we walk this spiritual journey together. And lastly, Paul says about the church, he says, we pray for you because of your perseverance in the tough times. We are walking through some tough times. Some of us individually, some of us corporately together, some of us as this country, we're walking through tough times, are we not? How will you persevere and how will you continue to draw closer to God during these times? These are three characteristics I would love to hear as I walk around the community when people talk about Withfield Baptist Church. That's a church where their faith is growing. That's a church where their love continues to deepen. And that's a church where they persevere through whatever happens and they continue moving forward. Well, after this, in the passage that I skipped, verses 4 through 10, or 5 through 10, Paul talks, has a comment about justice. Don't want to just look at that piece today, but he talks about justice for us. Paul has a comment about justice, but then he turns that very quickly as we go back to verse 11. He talks about praying for them and his concern for the church. So he talks about things have been done wrong to you. People are doing you wrong. And then he says, but let me tell you what I'm praying for you about. I want you to understand more fully, more completely. So Paul is praying for them to be found worthy of their calling, of the calling God has for them. Paul is in prayer for them to be found worthy of the calling God has for them. So often we use that word calling in the midst of the church to talk about pastors and preachers and ministers of education and music folks and youth leaders. They have a calling to do what they're doing. I want you to understand, once again, this letter is written to the whole church. And that word calling that we continue to use so much for those who are in full-time ministry or even part-time ministry needs to be expanded. It needs to be expanded for everyone in the church to grab a hold of. God has a calling for your life too. And I'm going to tell you right now, as I did on the post on Facebook for this week, I know what God's calling is for you. I know what God's calling is for you. Now, how does that make you feel? Excited? Fearful? Some of you wish you didn't come today. Some of you are excited that you're here because, wow, somebody has told me that they know what my calling is. Well, first off, let's start at the top. Because I want you to understand that this calling happens on two levels. This calling of folks happens on two levels. It happens in the church as a whole because this church has a calling. This church has a calling. And it also happens in your individual life that God has a calling for you. Now, I've spent 20 plus years searching out my calling and spending time talking with folks and trying to understand my calling and looking deeper and in richer ways for how God is calling me. Folks, for you, it's not any different. But first, I want to talk about what is the calling of this church? What is the calling of Withville Baptist Church? Our church's calling is to reach people for Jesus Christ. First in Withville and Wythe County. Our calling as a church is to reach people for Jesus Christ. First in Withville and Wythe County. The calling goes much further than this, but I want to center on this piece. This is God's calling for this church. Everything that we do should be drawing people closer to Jesus Christ, first in this town, in this county, before it goes anywhere else. That's why I'm so excited about tomorrow night. I am so excited about tomorrow night because people are coming here to find out about us. And it gives us an opportunity to live the very calling that God has for us as a church. It gives us a very opportunity to stand up and say, look, God's calling you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you might be saved and that you might walk in God's ways and that you might know the blessings. Now, I know some of you that weren't here on Wednesday night are going to say, Pastor, I can't do that. That's why I wish you were here on Wednesday night, this past one. Because we talked about the woman at the well, and she knew Jesus for 10 or 15 minutes max. She didn't go to seminary. Probably didn't even have a Bible. And she went back to town and led the whole town to come see Jesus Christ. And by the way, she was a woman they didn't like. Ten or 15 minutes was all the longer she knew Jesus. And she ran back to town. And she said, you must come and see this man who has told me everything I've ever done. Could he not be the Messiah? And the whole town said, let's go and see. A 10 or 15 minute conversation with Jesus, and she led the whole town Folks, any of us can do that. Amen? It may scare you to do it, but we can do it. But you know what? You don't have to do it tomorrow night, because they're going to come to us anyway. All you got to do is be here to receive them and love them and reach out to them. That's all you got to do. Will you be here to help with the harvest? Because that is God's first calling to this church. What happens on this street corner? Because God has planted us here, starting in 1883. God said, let's start a church right here in Withville. Because people there need to hear about Jesus Christ. Folks, that is God's calling for this church. There is no doubt in my mind about that. I don't need to research Scripture. I don't need to study things. Our calling is to reach this town and this county for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I told you I knew your calling, too. Did you get there yet? Did you figure it out? What your calling is? Your calling is to take an active and involved part in fulfilling the church's calling to help people come to Jesus Christ. Your calling is to take an active and involved part in fulfilling the church's calling to help people come to Jesus Christ. There is no doubt in my mind that is your calling. That is my calling also. To take an active and involved part in what God is doing on this corner in Withville, in the county of With. God is calling all of us to help the church fulfill that calling, to reach out with the very words and life of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for a man by the name of Scott Rankus. I don't know where he got the courage from to knock on the door of a long-haired hippie with a flat-brimmed cowboy hat that didn't want to be friends with anybody and share with me about Jesus Christ. Yes, I did have hair at one time, okay? And if you have any doubts of that, I do carry a picture in my wallet. If you want to see it, I'll be glad to show it to you. Long, blonde, curly hair. About down to here. And about out to here. It was uncontrollable. And somehow God placed in Scott Rankus's heart the courage and the desire to knock on my dorm door and come in and share with me about Jesus Christ. I am thankful that God gave that ability to Scott. Folks, there's the whole town of people coming here tomorrow night. And our calling is to share with them about Jesus Christ. There's plenty of bags of candy in the office. Contrary to popular belief, I have not sampled any of the candy. Stories have been passed that I've been eating all the candy and y'all need to bring in more candy. And in some of those bags, with great thanks, there's a little card that shares about our church. And tomorrow night, there's going to be pamphlets that are going to be handed out in the fellowship hall as people come in to eat about our church and about what we're doing here on this corner and about what we hope to do. Folks, they're coming. I told you, I know your calling. And your calling is to be part of being actively involved in what this church is doing. God has led you to this place. That's why you're here. Now, I know some folks are going to tell me, Pastor, it's not possible. It's too big a job. We can't do it. Sometimes I don't even have the desire to do it, Pastor. Can I tell you a secret? Every morning when I get up, I've got to make a decision once again. Am I going to be part of the calling that God has for me? Am I going to be part of the calling that God has for Withfield Baptist Church? Am I going to be found worthy of that calling by God? I've got to remake that decision every morning. And sometimes I've got to remake it more than one time a day. Like yesterday when I tried to order something online and they blocked my credit card. As I called the credit card company, I had to keep remembering I'm a pastor. And I had to make a decision that I'm going to still be a pastor and I'm still going to be a Christian. Even though it was very frustrating. Because it was a legal and right purchase. And because I was buying from Walmart.com to make sure that I could go to Walmart and pick up what I wanted. And it was being charged out of Arkansas. And they said, you live in Virginia, so we're denying this charge. I thought I'd entered the card number wrong, so I did it a second time. And the second time it went through, it was being charged from California. Oh, yeah, we're definitely blocking this card now. It was a moment to make another decision. Am I going to be a Christian? And am I going to live the calling that God wants me to live? Folks, God's calling you to be part of. And it's really easy for us to say, I don't have the ability, I don't have the way, I can't do this, I don't have the strength, I don't have the energy. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't forget the next phrase that it says, right after it says, I pray for you that God may count you worthy of his calling. And then here's the very next phrase. And I'm glad Paul used this next. And that by God's power, God may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. So when you say, I don't have the power to do this, Pastor, you're saying exactly the same thing that Paul says here. You don't have the power to do this. It says, Paul says, I pray that by God's power, don't forget this next phrase. By God's power, God may bring to fruition. By God's power, God may bring to fruition. Your calling. This church is calling. By God's power. Folks, if we try to do this on our own, we're going to fall flat on our face. But if we allow God to enter into us, live in us, and live through us, this calling is very easy to do. And I know some of you still doubt me. I'm going to ask you to try and see what happens as God brings promise and blessing. Because I want to tell you this, when you allow God to live this calling through you, our task to reach Withfield and With County is possible. It is no longer an impossible task. When you allow God to live this calling through you, our task to reach Withfield and With County is possible. Amen? We've got a big God, don't we? We've got a big God that cares and loves about every person in this town, no matter who they are, where they are right now, and what they're doing. God loves every one of them, and God wants to see salvation for each and every person. How can we fail now? We can't. If we allow God to live in us and through us, we cannot fail. So I leave you with this question. Have you connected with your calling from God? Have you connected with your calling from God? And have you become involved? Have you connected with your calling from God, and have you become involved with that calling? Let us pray. Lord, I come before you because this is tough. This is hard. We've especially been taught that if we just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, we can do anything we set our minds to. And yet, Lord, at this time, you're asking us not to do that. You're asking us to become involved in the calling that you have for this church. A calling to reach this community and this county. A calling to reach out with the very love and peace and comfort. So, Lord, we open our hearts. We open our hearts and we become excited because you have asked us to be involved in an incredible work that lasts for all eternity. And you are trusting us because you love us and because you know that we will allow you to live through us. So, Lord, please, help us. Help the fear to fall away and courage to come in. Help the anxiety to drop by the wayside. And for love and peace and comfort to be known through each and every one of us, especially for those who will come to see us tomorrow night. Lord, what an open door. What an open door. Guide us, direct us, and help us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.